You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Earlier this year, legislation was introduced to repeal Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act. Section 7AA emphasises the importance of Māori youth being placed with families that represent their whakapapa, as well as honouring principles of titiriti or waitangi. The ACT Party and Minister for Children Karen Traw says this section is putting children in danger, removing them from stable families to place them instead with whānau that align with their whakapapa and iwi. Oranga Tamariki, however, say there is no empirical evidence to support these claims, causing widespread backlash, with many believing the move is simply pushing the ACT Party's ideologies. Today, Ngā Puhi, Aotearoa's largest iwi, Orono Hīkoi, to Parliament in opposition to the repeal, saying it will disadvantage Māori rangatahi, who make up the majority of those in state care. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party's Simon Court about the intentions of the repeal and the party's feelings around the backlash. Advice offered to the Minister of Children by Oranga Tamariki officials themselves, just to quote them, is that there is no empirical evidence to support the notion that Section 7AA has driven practical decisions that have led to changing care arrangements. Although they have heard a small amount of anecdotal concerns from caregivers around the issue, they've concluded that there's no evidence to link those to Section 7AA. So why is it that the Minister continues to move forward despite the direct advice from Oranga Tamariki?
Well, I haven't read that advice, but what we do know is that Oranga Tamariki staff were involved in uplifting a child, Mary, whose parents were told that they could not care for her because and that their home environment was inappropriate because they could not demonstrate that they had Maori ancestry. And that child was removed, which would have been incredibly traumatic for that child. And it's that story, plus a number of others, that the Minister has become aware of in opposition, and that's informed her judgment. But it just seems outrageous that young, vulnerable children would be uplifted from safe, loving families and put into the care of whānau they don't know in a faraway place, at an age they can't comprehend what's going on. I mean, it's just quite heartbreaking. So while Oranga Tamariki have looked deep into their own statistics to try to justify why this shouldn't happen, actually we know it has happened because there have been court cases about it and Oranga Tamariki have lost.
Within the Oranga Tamariki Act, the consideration of children's whakapapa in decision-making is mentioned repeated times, not just in Section 7AA. But these other sections that it's mentioned in aren't on the list of repeal. It's been said that the intention of repealing 7AA is removing the priority of whakapapa in decision-making so children don't get uplifted. But if it's in there multiple times, what is the real intention if it's still going to remain in the Oranga Tamariki Act?
Well, I think it's important that children's family linkages and family is considered when thinking about the family they're being taken from, if that's necessary to protect their safety, and the family they might be placed with. You want to make sure that family they're going to be placed with is safe. Particularly one place to start is with existing family ties, but for many children actually it's family that's the problem. So thinking about 7AA, the problem with 7AA is it requires decision makers to take account of the Treaty of Waitangi. And we know how that's worked with Pharmac, and we've got rid of it because it doesn't make any sense. The same with Health New Zealand tool that established a discriminatory waitlist, apparently based on the government's obligations to a group of people under the Treaty of Waitangi. Now, that absolutely ignores the fundamental needs of humans and the dignity of each individual. And the purpose of Karen Chaw's reforms to the Oranga Tamariki Act is to, instead of focusing on characteristics like who your ancestors were, which is poor and lazy and neglects the best interests of vulnerable children, Karen's focus is actually about the need for children's safety. And any suggestion that their safety and well-being shouldn't come first is frankly ludicrous.
Yeah, I understand that, but what I'm saying is that these other sections, Section 4, Section 5, Section 13, for example, they all say the same thing about whakapapa, which is pretty much what 7AA is talking about, minus te tiriti, as you mentioned. But how does that one clause about te tiriti change what we're talking about?
Well, because it seems to that one clause seems to have been used to justify all kind of policy approaches which are just not backed up by evidence. So, you know, that's like with Health New Zealand, their tool that based the waiting list prioritisation on race rather than whether you were in a remote community or had any other characteristics that might mean that you deserved attention or needed attention first. Same with Pharmac. It's just completely unnecessary to have a Treaty of Waitangi focus when delivering modern medicines. Those things are unnecessary. It's also unnecessary the Oranga Tamariki Act. And I think you make a good point, and I agree with you. Throughout the Act, it says we need to look at who this children's family are because it may well be that they're the most appropriate group or the most appropriate place to put a child who is unsafe. But again, you know, the reason these children are in unsafe situations is because their family home is unsafe. So these are all matters that decision makers, you know, who are caring for children need to take very seriously. And that's what Karen Chaw's focused on. But it's certainly not having a government department view their role in protecting vulnerable children through the treaty lens. That is not appropriate. And that's why we're focusing on taking out those clauses from legislation where we can find them.
So we talk about the idea of evidence here. So the Children's Minister has been repeatedly grilled in interviews to disclose some empirical evidence behind her decision making, something she said she would do after submissions were made on the bill. I know you mentioned one case before, but is there currently any further evidence to offer?
Well, Karen Chaw is the Minister for Children, and she's basing her policy approach on evidence that she has seen, and I trust her to do her job. But you raised the point about Karen being grilled before. Karen hasn't just been grilled. She's been abused and bullied by other MPs in Parliament.
I do understand that, and I appreciate what you're saying, but if we could circle back to the question, the original question, I'm just wondering if you have any evidence on hand to offer, or are you saying that only the Minister of Children has access to that evidence at the moment?
Well, my portfolio is a resource management reform and infrastructure funding and financing, so no, I don't have that evidence before me, and I wouldn't expect to see it unless I was involved in working on the policy, but I do trust Karen Chaw. She grew up in state care. She knows what it's like to grow up feeling unsafe and to be a victim of the system. If there's anyone I trust to know what children need who are in that situation, it's Karen Chaw. And I'm absolutely positive that she's basing the policy decisions that she's taking that will lead to legislative change on sound information.
Moving on, so today in Ngā Puhi, the largest iwi in Aotearoa are on a hikoi to Parliament in opposition of this repeal, among other things. They have major concerns about the wellbeing and treatment of tamariki in state care, and they're calling for iwi-based solutions. Is this something the government's considered, or if not, why haven't they?
Well, of course, I understand Oranga Tamariki contracts many different social service providers, including iwi service providers. I understand from Karen that she's visited with many of these organisations and iwi groups around the country to find out more about what they do and to offer her support for the good work they do. So I'm not quite sure why this needs a hikoi, because it's already happening. And of course, Karen has made herself available to meet with these with all kinds of groups, including iwi-led organisations who deliver these.
Is this a huge amount of concern and backlash and discourse since the announcement of the repeal not a cause for concern?
Well, it's not really a huge amount of backlash. It's a backlash from a very, what you might say is very agitated, but rather small group of people. The backlash has had a lot of lash in it. It's been pretty nasty. There's been a lot of personal attacks that Karen's had to endure that other MPs have not had to deal with. and it's primarily focused on the fact that she is Māori and she doesn't appear to be following what some people who claim to speak for Māori believe that she should do. And so one of the challenges for the ACT Party and for being a minister in the ACT Party is that you have to go back and ask yourself, what are we here for? Is it to make individuals' lives better? What can the government do? What should the government stop doing? And I would say in Karen's case, she's absolutely focused on the individual dignity and rights of each child to be safe and to have a safe family home. And, you know, whether there are some people who disagree with her about policy, well, we understand that. We haven't heard any coherent or cogent policy arguments against what Karen is trying to do, but what we have seen is a whole lot of personal attacks on her character, primarily based on the fact that she's Māori. It's pretty disgusting. And, you know, what we're asking, you know, in Parliament and outside of Parliament is let's have a debate about policy, about ideas that you think work and why they work better. But for goodness sakes, can we please stop attacking Karen the person?
That was the ACT Party's Simon Kaur on the proposed repeal of Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act.
That was Simon Kaur from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.